Okay, let's just do a story on Hammond Bays also. There's a very interesting story at the end of Hammond Bays where it talks about Rav Huna's situation with his wine. You remember that, Gemara? Let me just find the other Gemara for you. I don't have the same edition.
I know.
Okay, Rav Huna. It says here, Rav Huna Havalei Tuf Dani Dechamra Isko. So Rav Huna had basically 400, I don't know, barrels of wine that all went bad. They all became vinegar. Right, so or you can read it the correct, I think. Here it says Takifule Arba Meya Dani Dechamra. Al Gabe Rav Yehuda Achua de Rav Salah Chasida Virabana. So Rav Yehuda, the brother of Salah Chasida and the Rabbanan, all came to visit him. The Amri Lo Ravad Barav Rabbanan, or Ravad Barav and the Rabbanan came to visit him. So Amrule. So what did they say to him? This is at the end of the Gemara about Yisurim, right? When bad things happen to you, so you're supposed to be Mefash Vesh B'Maisav. You're supposed to be investigate your actions and see what you did wrong, so you can do tshuva. Right? The Gemara had a whole list of things you're supposed to do. If you can't figure out what you're doing wrong, so at first if you have Yisurim, bad things are happening to you, you should first look into your actions and see what's going wrong. And if you can't do that, you should think about maybe it's Bittul Torah. And if you can't do that, so then they have a whole cheshbon there of what's going on. So here Rav Huna had major Yisurin, a tremendous financial loss. And so what did the Rabbanan say to him? They said, okay, la'ayin mar b'milei. So they said, let the master investigate his dealings. Right? Let look into your actions and see what needs tikkun. So this is, the whole Gemara is worth it for this line. So Amar Lahu. So Rav Huna says back to them, "Umi chashidna beinaihu? Am I? I'm the gadol ador. I'm Rav Huna. Am I chashid in your eyes? You think that I'm doing something wrong? That's why this happened to me?" So they gave him a very charifistic answer. Amrile, "Mi chashid kudshabrichu da avid dina below dina?" So they said, "What? And what's the counter argument? So the Rabbanu Shalom is doing this to you for no reason? Meaning, you have to understand." You might be a great man, but you're a man. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. So if you are going to say, well, I'm such an Adam Gadol, I couldn't possibly have done anything wrong, but so then you're doing something wrong by that. You're being choshed the Rabban Shalom for doing things to you for no reason. So I once saw this pshat to explain the Ramban, the very famous Ramban in Parashas Lech Lecha. Speaking of Machlok is Rashi and Ramban and Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu gets to Eretz Canaan for the first time, so he leaves right away. What does he do? Right, Vayir Ra'av Ba'aretz, Vayir Avram Mitzrayim, Lagorsham, right? Kikavet Ra'av Ba'aretz, something to that effect. Right, so he says that he went down to Mitzrayim to live there because there was a tremendous famine. Right, so Rashi over there says that this was a great thing that Avram Avinu did. The whole thing was a test, and it was actually one of the 10 tests that Avraham Avinu was tested in order to see what Ibn Maharir Acharei Midos of Shalakosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said I should come to go to Eretz Canaan, and then he makes it physically impossible for me to stay in Eretz Canaan. Right? So that's the way Rashi looks at it. The Ramban says just the opposite. The Ramban says this was one of the great all-time chatoim that Avraham Avinu did. He says, Chet Godol Chata, right, Bishogig. He did a tremendous chet. Granted, he didn't do it purposely. He made a mistake. But it was a tremendous chait, and it was a twofold sin. Number one, he put his wife in harm's way. And number two, because Hashem said he should go to Eretz Canaan, and if Hashem wanted to save him, Hashem could have saved him. So he should have had more bitachon in the Rabban Shalom to save him rather than to go down to Mitzrayim. So based on this, the Ramban says that's why the Bnei Yisrael, three generations later, had to go down to Mitzrayim and be there as slaves for 210 years. So he says, this Avera of Avram Avinu is the reason the Bnei Israel had to go down to Mitzrayim and suffer as slaves. So, you know, when you see that Ramban, you think it's a bit of a chutzpah. Like, and I always thought, like, okay, who am I to say something against the Ramban? But you know what? If the Ramban is allowed to take on Avram Avinu, so I think we can take on the Ramban. Like, who's the Ramban to say such a thing about Avram Avinu? Especially considering Chazal say he did a good thing. So the Ramban ends off the little piece with a few words, which is l'chora, this shot in this gemara also. The Ramban ends off with the words, "B'makom hamishpat shama haresha v'hachet." He says, "In the place of the judgment, in the place of the justice, therein lies the evil and the sin." Yeah, I don't think the Ramban often speaks in psukim. The Ramban often speaks in psukim, but the Ramban applies it. Here's where he sticks it. You know, so he says, the Ramban is saying what? He's saying, l'chora, I saw this quote in a sefer, Shaila Torah. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a nice sefer. Started off as one volume, now it's many, many volumes. Anyway, but it's nice words on the parsha. So he quotes this, I forget who he quotes it in the name of, but he said, that's the pshat in the Ramban from this Gemara. He said, "What? Rav Huna is a great man. And Avram Avinu is an even greater man." So he says, but the Ribbono Shel sent us down to Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says, it's my job as a person who learns Chumash to try to figure out why that happened. There has to be a reason. What? You're suspecting that the Ribbono Shel just sent us down there and made us slaves for no reason? That's your response? He says, no. You have to look. And you know, and it's not that hard to look if you think about it, because where does the starting point have to be? I guess Avram Avinu, Pashtus, you know, he was the first Jew. And where's the ending point have to be? How long of a window was there? Right, Bris Ben Abisarim, that's it. Because in the Bris Ben Abisarim, Hashem says, Yadoa Teda Ki Ger Yezarach Eretz Lelem. Right? He tells him, your children are going to have to be Ger in a strange land. So somewhere in between here and there, something happened. So Ramban says, I'm looking. What, you got to be blind not to look at this. So okay, but that's the yisod. The yisod is that you can listen, we have Emunas Chachamim, and we believe that certainly Avram Avinu and even Chazal were you know, much far greater than we could ever imagine to be. You know, as if we view them as malachim, then we can consider ourselves people. And if we consider them people, then we can have to consider ourselves donkeys, and not even a donkey of a Pinchas Ben Yair, right? So then, therefore, they're much, much greater than we can comprehend. But nevertheless, the Ribbono Shel Olam is infinitely greater than that. So whatever we think of our chachamim, we have to think that much more highly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what they said back to Rav Huna. Okay, so then he said, okay, so Lamaisa, let's talk. Amar lahu, ika man dishmiya la mil salema. So if anybody heard that I did something wrong, let me know. Amri lay, they said to him, Hachi shmielam. This is what we heard. The lo yoiv mar shabisha la rise. That the master has not given his chelek. Rashi says, what's shabisha? Chelko bizmuros hagefen shechotchin mehen bishas hazamir. Right, and the tana, kishem shecholken b'yayin kacholken b'zmurus v'kanim. So you didn't give him his chelek in the actual vines themselves, right? Not only do you give him a share of grapes, he's your sharecropper. You not only do you give him a share of grapes, you have to give him a share of the vines as well. So wait a minute, Rav Huna says, whoa, that might be true, but amar lahu mi koshavikli midi minei hakaganiv le kule. Does he even leave over anything from me? He gambles the whole thing. He steals everything from me. So he's stolen far more than his fair share of salary that I should be giving him. So they gave him another sharp answer. It was not Rav Huna's day to win arguments. So he says, Amri Lay, they said to him, Hainu da Amri Inshe, Basar Ganva Ganu Vitaima Toim. So they say, if you steal after a Ganav, you're also going to taste the flavor. Meaning, yeah, you're right. You're stealing from him. You're gonev min aganev, but you're also being toim the tam geneva. You're getting the flavor of geneva as well, and therefore, it's not glot, right? Rashi says, hagonev min aganev afhu toim tam geneva, right? Like we said, So he says, you're also getting a little bit out of this Geneva, and therefore it's not as good as it should be. So Amar Lahu, he said back, okay, Kabilna alai di avina le. I accept upon myself that I'm going to give him his fair salary. Ikadamri, so there's two answers to what happened in the end. Ikadamri, hadr chalav ahava chamra. Some say there was a nace, and the vinegar turned back into wine. The ikadamri, iker chalav is davin vidme chamra. And some say, no, the stock price has changed. The value of vinegar went up, and it got sold for the same price as if it would have been wine the whole time. So just two ha'aris on this. First of all, I just try to say over something from Rav Yashiv, that Rav Yashiv just says, v'derech halacha a little bit, he says, wait a minute. He says, isn't there a rule? And the rule is, avid inish dina l'nafshe, that if someone steals from you, you have the right to take it back? So he says, I don't understand what Rav Huna was doing wrong. His aris was stealing more from him than he deserved, and therefore he has the right not to pay him. It's he did the correct thing. So he says that maybe you can see from this Gemara a raya for the shita of the Mordechai. He quotes the Mordechai in Bava Kamma. It's a sugya in the beginning of the third parak in Bava Kamma. So he quotes the Mordechai in Aminiach, who says that the din of Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe is only when you steal back the exact item that was taken from you. You steal back exactly what was taken from you. Here, he wasn't stealing back something that was taken from him. He simply did not give him his salary in the way that he deserved, and therefore there was something not right about it. That's one possibility. Another possibility is the Gemara also there quotes from Shitas ben Bagbag, which is, nobody made a song out of this Gemara, so nobody knows this particular line from ben Bagbag. But it's also, he says over there, he says that, I can't find the quote right this second, but ben Bagbag says that if somebody steals from you, or somebody's coming, and you want to take it back, don't sneak in there like a ganav and steal it back. He says, stand up there, smash his teeth in, and say, Shali ani notel, right? Be upfront about it. Don't sneak around like a thief and steal it back from him, because then everybody's going to call you the thief, not him. He says, do it out in the open and say, Shali ani notel, I'm taking back what's mine. Right, but the point is, he says, that maybe that's what they're alluding to here also, meaning even if you're doing the right thing, you look like a ganav. So he's saying, by not paying the salary, you look like a ganav. Okay, that's ha'ara number one. Ha'ara number two, Rav Kook in the Ein Ayah has a very... Rav Kook was Rav Yashiv's Masada Kiddush. So Rav Kook has a ha'ara here, which is very interesting. He says that we know that a Kaddish Baruch Hu does not like to perform nisim. Says, generally speaking, it's a discussion in the Rambam and the Ramban exactly what role nisim play in general. But we know either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run b'derech ha-teva. So he says, so the two deos at the end of the Gemara as to what the nes was are having the following machlokas. He said, one man d'amar holds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather do a smaller nes b'kamus and have it be a bigger nes b'echus. Right? He would rather have a smaller quantitative nes and a larger qualitative nes. Or perhaps the opposite. He'd rather do a smaller qualitative nace, but have it be in bigger quantities. So he says, so what's pshat over here? He says, here you have two possibilities. Either there was a nace of tremendous echus. There was a tremendous qualitative nace. Literally wine, the chemical properties of the vinegar changed back into wine. It's a nace nigla almost. Right? So he says, that's a great nace be'echus, but it was local. It was only in Rav Huna's wine cellar. Nobody else had to know about it. Right, so he says it was small bekamus. He says, on the other hand, you could say Hashem would rather do a more derech ha-teva type nes, a smaller nes be'echus. He would rather do a smaller qualitative nes, meaning the stock prices go up, they go down. That's what happens, you know. So it's not such a crazy thing that the price of vinegar went up and the price of wine went down, or vice versa, whatever. It's not everybody's going to look a nes min ha-shamayim. You know, but on the other hand, it affects everyone. It affects, this stock affects that, the wheat prices and this price, and everything gets affected by it. So it's a tremendous nes bekamus, even though it's a smaller nes be'echus. So the question was, the two possibilities at the end of the Gemara is, would Hashem turn the whole world upside down just not to do a nes nigla, to do a nes nistar, but it turns the whole world upside down, or no? Hashem would rather do a nes nigla, but it's local. It's only in Rav Huna's wine cellar. I don't know, thought it was an interesting thing. All right, let's do one more quick Gemara. So this is on Davov. So the Gemara there is discussing the issue of after the Shadim stuff. So talking about davening, everybody davening with a minion, etc., and then davening in Beis HaKnesses. And then the Gemara continues, Uminayin la'asara shemispalim sheshchina imayim. You see where that is? Shenemar elokim nitzav ba'adas kel. From where do we know that the minyan that davens, the shechina is there? Uminayin l'shlosha sheyoshim bedin sheshchina imayim. And how do we know that three dayanim who sit down to judge shechina, shenemar bekerev elohim yishpot. And then it says, Uminayin l'shnayim sheyoshim v'oskim betorah sheshchina imayim. How do we know that two people are sitting and learning, the shechina is there? Shenemar, Oz Nibru Yirei Hashem Ish El Reyehu Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma Vayichtov Sefer Zikaron Lifanov Yirei Hashem Ul Choshvei Shemo. Let's pay close attention to that pasuk. It's a little long-winded, but there's a great shot in this pasuk that Rav Kook has here. It says, Oz Nibru, you ever heard of the Shas and Shuvas Oz Nibru? There's a tzaddik in Bnei Brak, Rav Binyamin Zilber. He passed away about 5 years ago, I think he had. He started off writing like some articles about Hilchos Shabbos in one of the local papers, and then people wrote back things to him, and then he started writing more tshuvas, and he when he finally had enough stuff to publish a sefer, he called it Tzavos and Tshuvas Oz Nibru, based on this pasuk. He says it's a give and take of Yirei Hashem Ish El Reyehu. So this pasuk is saying, then will those who fear Hashem speak one man to his friend. Hashem will pay attention and he will listen. And he'll write it down in his book of remembrance in front of him for those who fear Hashem and those who think about his name. Right? So then the Gemara says, Mai ulchosh veshmo. So what does that mean, those who think about his name? Amar Rav Ashi, afilu chishev adam lasos mitzvah v'nenas v'lo asah ma'al lav akasav kilu asah. Right? So he says, it means that if somebody tried to do a mitzvah, he thought he was going to do a mitzvah, and then an ones happened, he couldn't do it, he gets schar as if he did it. And how do we know that one person who sits and learns the Shechina is with him also? Anywhere that my name is mentioned, I will come there and I will bless you. Right? This is going like the Gemara later on. Of how do we know? Birchas HaTorah min HaTorah minayim ki shem Hashem ekra havu godol elokeinu. Right, when the name of Hashem is mentioned, so then you have to give praise to Hashem. Meaning the Shem Hashem is Torah. Right? Like the Ramban says in his Akdamah to Sefer Bereishis, Kol HaTorah Kula Shmosav Shel Hashem. Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what you see also here. Anywhere that my name is mentioned, says Hashem, anywhere my Torah is spoken, I will come there. So wait a minute. So the Gemara says, so what's the big deal about two people now? If one person brings the Shechina, who cares about two? Chimeachar da filu echot chad treme boy. The Gemara gives a weird answer. Trei michtav amilei b'sefer hazichronos. Chad lo michtav amilei b'sefer hazichronos. So he says, if two people learn, then that's what the pasuk says. If the Yirei Hashem speak one to each other, Hashem listens, he pays attention, and he writes it down in the sefer hazichronos. But one doesn't say he gets written down in the sefer hazichronos. So I don't even know what that is. What do I care about? I don't know what it means to get written down the Sefer Zichronos. So like, oh, I'm missing out. So why would I learn with a friend if I don't have to, just so I can get some reward that I don't even know what it is? So I think the Gra in he has two Pirushim on Brachas. He has one Pshat Pirush and one on Agadita's Derech Nistar. So I think in the Pshat Pirush, in the Imri Noam, so he says no, it's Poshut. It just means Michtav Amilayu B'Sefer Zichronos. You just remember you're learning so much better if you're speaking out to a chavrusa than if you're just sitting there thinking it on your own. He says, "Stam a school of Zikaron to speak out the words, right?" Like who was it? Buria yelled at somebody. I forgot who she yelled at. Who was learning silently? She said, "What? You know, what's your problem?" He says, "You're not going to remember anything you learned because you're learning quietly to yourself." So that's the grub. But Rav Kook here has something very beautiful that he says over. He says that. When a person learns Torah, so he's trying to be mashlim himself. He's trying to create, to create a better himself through his Talmud Torah, like we spoke about last time. So, and he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin when it says Va'asisem osam. So he says it's ksiv Va'asisem atem. You should make yourselves. You remake yourself when you learn Torah. You're improving yourself by the the words of the Dvar Hashem that go into you make you a better person. So he says, so what does it take for a person to remake himself through the words of Torah? So he says, it has to be, you know, I'm adding a little bit to what he's saying, but he says it has to be that he's learning Torah the right way, he's understanding it correctly, he's remembering it, and not only that, but it's lumod al menas lasos. He gets the message of what he's learning, and he's mekayim it. You know, and he does what, you know, you have people, it has to be a Torah Chaim. It can't just be a, can't just be that he's learning in, only in theory and he's not going to carry out what he learns. So he says, when one person learns by himself, so that's a big achrayus, that if he's learning all on his own, so then he's not going to reap the full benefits of his learning if he doesn't actually do all that. Then the Torah is not going to have the desired effect on him. So he said, but if two people are learning, one with the other, so we can't control each other's outcomes. I can't make you keep the Torah better because of what I'm saying, and you can't make me keep the Torah better because of what you're saying. All you can do is deliver the Torah to me in as clear a fashion as possible, and understandable a fashion, and digestible. You know, so you deliver the Torah to me, I'll deliver the Torah to you, we put it out there for you, and then if you keep it, good. If not, it's not my fault, and so too you to me. So if you have two people learning, one with the other, so immediately it gets written down in the Sefer Zichronos. When one person is learning by himself, so okay, Hashem, he's waiting to see how's it going to turn out. You know, if the guy actually gets out of it what he's supposed to get out of it, then it'll be written in the Sefer Zichronos. If not, then he won't. But when two people are learning, immediately when one guy delivers the Torah to the other guy, it's written down in the Sefer Zichronos because he did all he could. So that's a very nice pshat, but then he says, and that's what the continuation of the pasuk means. He says, look at the continuation of the pasuk. It says, one speaks to the other, vayakshev Hashem, Hashem pays attention, vayishma, and he hears it, vayichto b'sefer zichron lefanav, he writes it down, liyirei Hashem, to these two guys who are talking, ulechoshvei shemo. What's lechoshvei shemo, says the Gemara? Somebody who tries to do a mitzvah, and an ones happens, and it doesn't get done, so that Hashem considers it as if he did it. Meaning, when I'm learning with you, and you're learning with me, and you deliver the Torah to me as best as you can, and then I don't fulfill it, you still get the schar as if I did. That's why you get written in the Sefer Zichronos. That's the Hemshech of the Pasuk. It's L'choshev Shmo, that you were a Choshev Shmo, and I was a Choshev Shmo. We each tried to deliver the Torah one to the other as best as possible, and you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. But that's an ones, and therefore we get written in the Sefer Zichronos either way. Okay, stop.